You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Are we joining you on the road, joining you in the office, maybe the warehouse, garage, outside, in the farm? Is it hot? Cold? Maybe it's snowing outside. Either way, we're happy to be joining you wherever you are, because if we're enlightening your life, livelihood, or just information, then we're grateful to be here with you. And we're also grateful for all of those reviews, all of those subscribed hits that you do on YouTube. All that, we're very grateful for it. We're very, very grateful to still be here with you. And we're also still very grateful to be in this good fight for remote ID with you. So thank you.
Good fight, meaning may it happen the appropriate way. A way that actually benefits the industry as a whole.
True.
As opposed to hurt the industry as a whole. Anyways, True. Yeah, thank you for joining us, guys. We're really humbled. Every single day I sit here and we do this, I'm humbled that there are people on the other side listening. And hopefully we can bring you some value today and get you some information that will be useful to you. That's always our goal.
Yes, it is always our goal. It really is. We're excited today. We're going to be talking about liability. I don't think it's something that people really think about. I mean, I think that they think about it. I just don't know to what extent that they think about it. Because liability plays a huge issue, and if you really start thinking about it a lot, well, then you quickly realize how many things can go wrong, what your insurance may cover versus what it may not cover, and how sometimes, I don't know if you can be double insured, but you should be allowed to be double insured because of the historical insurance
double insured
industry.
Huh. Interesting. Well, yeah, double insured. What do you mean by double insured? Like you're covered, you've got a backup to your insurance?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like a form of redundancy.
Yeah, yeah. I think there actually is something along those lines, although there's like a line, so to speak, of insurer A would cover you for portion A, and then the backup would cover you for portion B. And anyways, that's a lot of technicality that you need to talk to an insurance agent about. Which, by the way, I always recommend an agent, a broker for insurance, which I know a lot of the captive agents, i.e. State Farm, Allstate, etc., probably not going to like me saying that, but I love the fact that a broker is really going out and evaluating various carriers on your behalf. And I don't know, maybe some of the captives do that as well, but I don't know that they're allowed to. I think they're, like the term implies, they're captive to their particular company, i.e. State Farm, et cetera. So anyways, very important subject today.
Yeah, today we are talking about liability. Today we are talking about maybe a liability that you may not have thought about. And then if you're hearing about it here first, well, you know, I know some people might go, ooh, cringe. Well, toughen up, sweetheart, because it's only going to get better from here. So this is one of those things that while it is difficult to think about it, it's something that you should think about, because ignorance is not is bliss until something goes wrong and ends your entire career. So I think that this is something that is really, really important. And in fact, after that phone call I just had with Bill prior to this, it makes me think of even more liabilities to come up. And also, it made me think while we're talking about insurance, sorry to like beat the dead horse, but I'm going to beat this dead horse until there's nothing left. I'm talking about remote ID. And, you know, one of the things that I was talking about with Bill and also with a couple other people is, you know, what really happens if remote ID is passed as is, as proposed, with so many people saying that there's not going to be compliance. And a couple of people have said, well, once again, who controls the industry? It's not the FAA. FAA needs to learn that real quick. It's the insurance companies. Because if people are like, hey, I'm not going to comply, and they just keep flying, There are going to be certain jobs that will just simply not hire you because they can't comply with their insurance. Like I've said before, there are a lot of uneducated construction managers, project managers, corporate America in general, right? Indolence is widespread. People are focusing on clickbait. They don't look at sources. They don't deep dive. They don't do their research. They just look at the first page of their Google search and think that that's good. But luckily, going to a private school, I learned that that is not the right thing to do. And, you know, that means that a lot of people who are hiring drone pilots might really not be educated as far as the depth of the regulation, the details, how to work within them, etc., which also means that to some extent, they probably don't care. Like, think about the realtors, right? They're probably still going to hire people without really worrying about quote-unquote FAA compliance. I mean,
well, that would be status quo.
Yes, it sure would.
Just going to keep doing what they're already doing.
It sure would.
I met a new realtor, and he's like, what do you do? And I was talking to him about Drone U, and he's, oh, yeah, we use drones. And I said, you do, huh? Have you heard of the Part 107 thing, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So exactly. Some of that's just not changing. And
so yeah. I think it's funny because for like the people who have spent all this money in trying to legitimize the industry to serve big business so that we can make this a super efficient service across the gamut, because it really is an efficiency and productivity movement forward. But all those people who have been working really, really hard, if they can't comply with existing security regulations and FAA regulations, they're definitely not going to keep hiring pilots. That is for damn sure. I mean, can you think of a business? Think of just like any big oil producer. Let's take oil and gas, right? Let's take Farmington, Robbo's hometown. Lots mm-hmm. of oil and gas.
Yep.
Right? If their insurance says you've got to follow FAA guidelines when your drone pilots are flying, but those FAA guidelines breach the pre-existing security guidelines about the secure sites and infrastructure, and they can't meet the FAA guidelines due to the security guidelines, do you think they're really going to hire a pilot? I don't think so. Is the realtor down the street who goes, huh, what do you mean 107? I focus more on my voicemail than I do how I treat people. Well, I mean, I'm just probably going to keep hiring people. So, sorry, but I think you know the type of people I'm talking about. So
I do.
Yep.
Yep, for sure. All right.
That doesn't mean that's everyone.
No.
Okay?
It's
that's
everyone.
Not everybody.
No, indeed. Thank you for saying that.
Not every realtor.
Today's question is brought to you by the drone you fly in.
That's one thing that's really exciting.
It is very exciting. I'm super excited.
I am
it's
too.
It's creeping up on us. It's going to be here in about a little over a month and a half. And so time's running out, as are available spaces. DroneUFlyIn.com. You can learn a lot more about it. But let's talk real briefly. Business Boot Camp is going to be phenomenal. We've got Haya and Paul teaching, and then we've got some work together with existing drone owners in a, what's the term?
Mastermind.
Mastermind. Thank you. I don't know why that left my mind, but that's going to be great because I think that's when we all get to be very vulnerable. Can you be vulnerable? You're not going to learn as much as you could if you're not. But if you come and you be vulnerable and you talk about the struggles that you're having, that's how you're going to grow and that's how you're going to learn from what everybody else is doing. I love those environments, no matter what industry you're in, and it's going to really help your business if you're a part of that. There's going to be a flight mastery day long with many of our DroneU Elite pilots are going to be there. So it's sort of a unique flight mastery opportunity because there's going to be so much expertise there helping because they're all going to be here for a DroneU Elite conference that we're having. Then we've got the weekend, which is going to be so much fun, creative challenge, technical challenge, on and on we go.
It is a drone conference like no other, just to be clear. I mean, there are like Rob is saying, there are 2 days of flying, and that's what makes it really a drone conference like no other. But if you're like Rob and you like to learn because you ultimately want to better yourself, because you understand that by bettering yourself, you're also going to better your business and the relationships that you surround yourself with. Well, if you're a lot like Rob, then not only do you want to have the fun adventures of flying these 20 different flight missions, but you might also want to attend some of the extra classes that come along with the fly-in, like the business mastery course that Rob's talking about. Now, I have to say, even myself, while we are excited to have our new instructors and old instructors here training at the Drone U fly-in, that flight mastery class is definitely going to be one that provides probably a little bit more attention or personal attention to pilots than normal. So yes, that flagship class will be available, but it's really clear to understand why Rob is excited about business. It's because if you understand the key to success, it's just twofold. One is self-awareness and two is hard work. And if you want environments that foster those two things, then you don't want to miss the Business Mastery class at the Drone U Fly-In. Check it out, droneuflyin.com.
Invest in yourself.
Hey, Paul and Rob, Tom Powers here again in Idaho. Had another question for you. I was wondering if you guys recommend carrying a professional liability insurance. You know, if you're out on a job and you produce something, client isn't happy with it, and you end up going to court over it, if you think that's good to have that protection in place. Thanks again for all you guys do.
Great question. Really great question. Really grateful for that question. And it brings up another good question here, Rob. What's the difference between professional liability, like he's talking about, versus the aviation liability that we have?
Yeah, aviation and general. I mean, so really we're distinguishing between three different coverages, if you will, based on the way that you asked that question. And again, I want to just preface this by saying, find yourself a great broker. It's no different than having a great attorney or a great accountant or a great CPA, whatever. A good insurance broker is really important to have in your arsenal. So the primary coverages, I think many of you are aware of this, but just in case not, we've got our aviation liability, which is if anything happens relative to flying, where you run into a car, hopefully you don't run into a person, but you run into a person, you've got coverage for the actual drone itself, but you've also got coverage in the event that something happens to somebody or somebody else's property, right? Or in fact, your property, depending on your coverages. But then you've also got general liability. Let's say you've got office space, or even if you have home office, you wanna have some coverage for somebody that comes in, bumps their head, slips on a banana peel that one of your employees forgot to throw in the trash. There's general liability that you need to be covered for as well. And those can sometimes be covered via a blanket policy. You're going to want to talk to your agent about that. We're not going to go into those kinds of technicalities and details. But when it gets to professional liability, now we're talking about things that happen because of either the product or the service that you have provided to your customers, right? So in our case, well, I don't want to talk about us in this context right now. The more I think about that.
Okay, so let's say that I go out and I fly a job for a realtor, and this is the same realtor that spends more time on her voicemail than treating people with respect. And she's just really not happy with the style of the video. You captured everything that she asked for. And I'm saying this because I've gone through this. And
you have a contract.
And you have a contract. I'm thinking of a very particular realtor right now. It's funny. This was a ranch job out in just outside of Edgewood. And I captured everything she asked for, used a slider, one of my very, very good videos. But she wanted like a more modern, like animated transitions that would have cost probably like $50 or $60 per transition. And I was like, I just can't do that. Like, you asked me to cover X, Y, and Z. I covered X, Y, and Z. I did it in multiple different ways. The property was cleaned up. The lights were on. Everything, like, was done. You know, I think what you're asking is just for, like, a different style of video. And she's like, no. I'm not asking for that.
Yeah, well, you know,
she might have also been practicing witchcraft. I don't know.
Oh, my. The plot thickens.
Well, I'm just trying to make it a better story.
You know, it actually makes me think of something that we need to clarify, and that is if you hear the term errors and omissions,
I was gonna ask
it
that.
Is synonymous with the term professional liability, though. Those are interchangeable terms as it relates to this kind of insurance. And so you're really talking about either an alleged or actual negligence on your part, right? Or the cost to defend yourself against the alleged or actual negligence on your part. Because ultimately, until you go through the court of law, before a judge, before a jury, whatever it comes to, I guess it's alleged until proven otherwise, but you're still going to have to defend yourself. And in this particular case, she could say, Paul, you were negligent and you omitted certain shots that would have sold my house. Since you didn't include those shots, well, now I lost the listing. It was $1.5 million house. I lost $30,000. You're paying me. I'm suing you for 30 plus all of my marketing, et cetera. Now it's up to 50. And now she's saying that she can't sleep at night. And so now her health is bad. And now there's damages up to 150, right? I mean, you see how these things can go because she couldn't make her insurance payments and on and on and on. And they had a vacation plan that they had to cancel. These things can grow like gremlins. And so, you know, generally speaking, I think folks think of professional liability in the form or to cover things like architects, attorneys, accountants, engineers, consultants, those kinds of things, and real estate agents, they have that as well. But I'm sort of the in the camp that depending on what you do, I would imagine it can be relatively inexpensive, a few bucks a month, maybe $50 a month, because insurance, as you all know, is risk-based, right? And so if you're in a situation where you're flying for clients and the risk is actually pretty low, there's very little incidence of cases coming against people doing what you do in the insurance industry. The insurance industry knows that. Why not cover yourself? The reality is, as I understand it and what I've seen, is that the insurance cost to a person or family is generally the second highest expense behind their mortgage where they live. And I mean when you add all the insurances up, when you add up car, house, life, health, et cetera, it's heck, in many cases, it could be more than your house payments, more than what it costs to live where you live, which is just astonishing to me. But that's the world that we live in. So yeah, I think that it is something, Tom, that you're going to want to have or at least look into or at least bring it up with your agent and have a conversation about what you do and the clients that you serve and get a sense of what the risk is. Life is ultimately a conversation with the people in your life that are helping you make decisions like this, a risk assessment, right? Whether it's the clients that you take on, the education that you pay for, the stocks that you invest in, the insurance that you choose to get or not to get. You're assessing risk and whether or not you're willing to take that risk on yourself because it's very little or passing it on to somebody else because it seems like there's a lot of potential risk there. So the short answer is talk to somebody who knows about this stuff, but I'm definitely not going to write it off and say DSPs don't need it because I think that it's something that they should seriously, seriously consider. And we're a litigious society, right?
Well, I was just going to say too, I wanted to break in and say, you know, I think the main key factor here is having the revenue, having the redundancy, having the protection to pay for even just defending yourself. Because I've learned as the son of a lawyer that oftentimes the strategy to get your way is to simply just squeeze people. And I know that sounds really, really messed up, but it is time to be serious. It is time to think about these things. Are they sensitive? Sure. By you being sensitive, is that going to help you get through them? No, it's not. So just, it's okay. We're going to make our way through this. When I say squeeze somebody, I mean all that they're doing is, let's say Rob files that 30K lawsuit against me, right? First time someone gets served, what's the innate human reaction?
I don't know. Oh, crap. Sure.
Oh, crap. Fear. Freaking out, right? What does that do? Well, puts you in a different state of mind. Is your productivity going to be the same? Are you going to go out and still be able to get fresh new clients? Are you going to keep that sales funnel moving? Are you going to still be serving your clients? What is the opportunity cost that's lost? So it's not just about getting served for a $30,000 lawsuit and showing up at your local, small claims court. Actually, 30K would be above small claims, but to go to your local small claims court and at least fight for yourself. And if you don't do that, then they're just going to judge against you and you're going to have to pay it anyway. I learned that the hard way in my last business. And the thing is that with errors and omissions, at least you have a way to pay to defend yourself so that you're not really worried about defending yourself, because oftentimes people will, and I know a lot of people in business who do this, they will just send you a C&D just to scare you. Like literally just to scare you. Mm-hmm. And how you respond is everything. So now that being said, there are people that we've sent C&Ds to that if they're still listening to this show, I'm still coming after you. But I'm just saying that there are people that in corporate America will seriously just sue you to try to scare you. If your competition, if they don't like what you're doing, maybe you're fighting for something at their HOA that they don't like. I mean, I've heard of very obscure cases in this area. So having that errors and omissions or professional liability insurance allows you to pay for your defense, allows you to not be, what is it called, victim to the squeeze, and will give you at least a fair shake in fighting for your position. Because I think what a lot of people need to know is that this whole ideological stance on the news and TV about the law is going to give us justice for what's right, while I would love to believe that, again, as the son of a lawyer, still part of a huge law firm, that is, I personally do not believe that is the case at all. I think our justice system is set up for those who know how to win, not be right. I wish it was about being right. But also, it's not always white and black. Many shades of gray and very complex issues. And oftentimes, people come down to intentions. Well, what was their intention, right? And
The bottom line, I think, is that you can spend a ton of money on a frivolous case just defending yourself.
That's
where you ultimately get beat down.
Yep.
Probably, even if it's clear that it's not your fault and that you've done nothing wrong, attorneys are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
$400 an hour is common. I'm sure if you're in the East Coast, it's $1,000 an hour, $1,500 an hour. So you want to be prepared for that. It's unfortunate that that's the way that we have to set ourselves up. But on the other hand, we can't be naive.
You know what? That makes me wonder about the whole Legal Shield thing. Because Sarah's been getting into that. Mm. Makes me wonder how much protection is in that. So, because they talk about having, you know, ability to communicate with lawyers and whatnot. So I really want to dig into that.
Well, we can talk about that off the air.
For sure. But yeah. I just, like, it makes me think about, you know, when you're focusing on working on your business in the winter months, when you're in this industry at least, it makes you think about the services that are available that can provide you with assets to fight the status quo of doing business.
Absolutely. So,
and if you're wondering what the status quo of doing business is, well, just go talk to a boomer.
And not a boomer sooner.
What?
I said, and not a boomer sooner.
What's a boomer sooner?
Is that somebody who roots for University of Oklahoma?
Okay, that's what I was wondering. That's what I thought. On that wonky bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. Long and the short of is you really need to deep dive into your coverages. Is your drone going to be covered in the case of theft? Is your service going to be covered in the case of miscommunications? And as we know in real life with our relationships, miscommunication can really be the bear of all the bears. So don't be like me and learn from your failures. Take the time now. Make it a priority now and make sure that you are protected so that in this industry, you can still put food on the table. This is another episode of Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.